in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. And mind are open to receive your word tonight. We reverence and honor your presence in our midst. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank you for the seven spirits of God in operation in this place. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. We receive divine illuminations, we receive revelation, enlightenment, insight, instructions, we receive impartations of your spirit. Thank you for workings of miracles. Thank you for notable transformations. Thank you because we go from glory to glory. Thank you for new levels of victory by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Let me welcome the sons of oil to your right and to your left. Say welcome to this encounter service. Welcome the sons of oil, both his sons and she sons. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Glory to God. Sons of oil, part 2. Praise God. We started this very prophetic teaching series last week, Sunday. It was such a huge blessing. From the feedback and the testimonies we received, we know it was a huge blessing. Praise God. Zechariah 4 verse 14. Hallelujah. Zechariah 4 verse 14. In response to the question of Prophet Zechariah, when he asked the angel the meaning of those two olive branches, those two olive trees, then the angel said, these are the two anointed ones. Praise God. These are the two anointed ones. Glory to God. That stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And by the way, that's even the secret of the anointing. The two anointed ones, the reason why they are anointed is because they stand by the Lord of the whole earth. As in, they dwell in the presence of God. And we said the presence of God is the secret and source of the anointing. Praise God. The presence of the Holy Ghost is the secret of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So when you stand by the Lord of the whole earth, when you live in his presence, when you dwell in his presence, you cannot but be anointed. Praise God. You can't escape the anointing. You see, when you are intimate with God like that, there must be a rub off. There must be a rub off. Give us this Zechariah 4:14 in the Amplified Version. You will see that expression, sons of oil now. Praise God. That's where we got that expression, sons of oil. Praise God. He said, then said he, these are the two sons of oil. Do we have sons of oil in the house? Do we have sons of oil in the house? Okay, if we do, make some noise. Sons of oil, give a shout to the Lord. He said, these are the two sons of oil. Joshua the high priest, number one, and Zerubbabel the prince of Judah, number two. The two anointed ones. Praise God. And you can comfortably put your name there. Praise God. Because you too, you are a son of oil. Hallelujah. Joshua the high priest, you know, there is an anointing to stand in the office of a priest. Okay? There's an anointing that consecrates people into the office of priesthood in the Old Testament. That was the anointing upon Joshua the high priest. Then Zerubbabel the prince of Judah, his own is a different kind of anointing that was upon him. It's not the priestly anointing that is upon Zerubbabel. Is a kingly anointing for leadership, for rulership. Am I communicating? So you see both the priestly anointing there that is upon Joshua the high priest and the kingly anointing that is upon who? Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, who was the governor. Praise God. You know, in the Old Testament, there are special anointings for those. There are like three special offices: the office of a prophet, the office of a king, and the office of a priest. And there is a special anointing that consecrates people to stand and function in these offices. Praise God. You remember what God told prophet Elijah? He said, go back and return, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king over what? Huh? You forgot what God told him? Three people he said you should anoint. Anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. Anoint Azel to be king over Syria. Then anoint Elisha to be prophet in your room. As in, to take your place. Praise God. So you can see that there was a special anointing, kingly anointing, with which is to anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi to be king over Israel. Then there was another special anointing to anoint Azel to be king over Syria. Because Elisha was a territorial prophet over not just Israel. In the realm of the spirit, his area of jurisdiction covers both Israel and Syria. Am I communicating? Those two territories were under his authority. So that was why he had the authority to anoint Azel to be king over Syria. In addition to Jehu. Praise God. So prophet Elijah in the realm of the spirit was ruling over those two nations. Then God now said, anoint Elisha to be prophet in your stead. Praise God. So kingly anointings upon those two kings, then the prophetic anointing is the one that will rest upon who? Elisha. To stand in the office of a prophet, as the number one prophet in Israel. The same room that Elijah stood. Praise God. So, this is very important. Sons of oil. Go back to that Zechariah 4:14 in the Amplified Version that I was reading. Glory to God. We define the anointing, right? We define the anointing. I gave you two definitions. What is the anointing? The anointing is a supernatural empowerment and equipment to fulfill your God-given assignment, purpose, calling, or vision. Praise God. You cannot fulfill your earthly assignment without the anointing. Not even Jesus could. Number two, the anointing is divine enablement and superhuman energy to fulfill your God-ordained destiny. Let me add to that definition. What is the anointing? Number three, the anointing is a heavenly unction to function well in your calling. Is the heavenly unction to function well in your calling? Listen, without the anointing, you will malfunction. Yes, you will malfunction. Without the anointing, you will suffer dysfunction. You become dysfunctional in operation. So, it is a vital necessity. What is the anointing? The anointing is number four now, the supernatural enablement for the effective and efficient execution of your earthly assignment, task, or calling. The anointing is a supernatural enablement for the effective and efficient execution of your earthly assignment, comma, task, calling, purpose, or destiny. So the anointing is a secret of effectiveness. It makes you effective in carrying out any given assignment, in executing any assignment. The anointing is a secret of efficiency. It makes you efficient. It makes you extremely good at what you do. Praise God. I say praise God. What's the anointing? Number what now? Five. The anointing is God's ability imparted to you to fulfill His will and to do the works of Jesus on earth. The anointing is God's ability imparted to you to fulfill His will and to do the works of Jesus on earth. So, the anointing is God's ability functioning through a human vessel, a yielded human vessel actually, and it empowers you to fulfill God's will. You need more than good heart to fulfill God's will. You need to be anointed for it. The Bible says, how God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Listen, you need more than goodwill. You need more than good heart. You need the commensurate empowerment for you to do good, for the good in your heart to find expression. Am I communicating? And the anointing gives you that empowerment, that enablement, that divine ability. Okay, you cannot do the works of Jesus without the anointing. Jesus says, very verily I say unto you, whosoever believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and what greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name I will do. You cannot do the greater works Jesus talked about. In fact, you can't do the works of Jesus without the anointing. This is very important. The anointing is the secret of supernatural results. Results that defy logic. They defy logical explanation. They are traceable to the anointing. What is the anointing? Number what now? The anointing is a system of divine authorization that legitimizes your operations. The anointing is a system of divine authorization. It's a system of divine authorization that legitimizes your operations. So it's the anointing that gives you authority. It gives you that legal authority to do the things you do. Am I communicating? your operations become illegal without the anointing. Praise God. It legitimizes your operations. Glory to God. I say glory to God. What is the anointing? The anointing, number what now? 7. I will stop at number 7. Have I not tried? 7 definitions. At least you can't be confused about the anointing with these 7 definitions. When you go back home, go through it. You know, some of you just take notes, you don't read it. Praise God. Maybe one of these Sundays will just come and the sermon topic will be revision. All the things we've been teaching, because some of you don't read, you just take a copy like secretary, brrr, you drop it till next Sunday, brrr. You don't, no be so. Tell your neighbor, no be so. Review your notes, go through the scriptures. Am I communicating? Number 7, the anointing is the divine empowerment to do what is humanly impossible. The anointing is the divine empowerment to do what is humanly impossible. You don't need the anointing to do things that are humanly possible. Eh? Look at this. This, I carry this. This is humanly possible. I don't need the anointing to do this. But to carry the gate of a city like Samson and to carry it uphill, that one. You know, when some of you hear about Samson, you think Samson is a macho man. Forget those children cartoons about Samson. Oh. They just did it so that children will understand. But Samson is not a macho man at all. In my opinion, Samson was lepa. I fat past Samson, honestly. That's why the things he does usually surprises people. Because when they look at his natural physique, it's not adding up. Where did this guy get the muscle? With the jawbone of an ass, he will kill 1,000 Philistines and he will not even share testimony. He didn't tell anybody. He's just trolling. Am I communicating? He carried the gate of a city, not the gate of a house. Not even the door of a house. Not the gate of a town. Not the gate of a village. The gate of a city. Carried it. And then he climbed a hill, uphill task against gravity. That's not normal. That's the spirit of might. It's the anointing. Mantabalakatai. That is a humanly impossible task. The anointing is the key to doing the impossible. Am I communicating? What human beings say is not possible, the anointing will make you do it cheaply. Am I communicating? Kobalasidaka brandekepo. Mandepolataska brandekepa. Just imagine a woman with blocked fallopian tube got pregnant, or a woman whose womb has been removed, she has had hysterectomy total hysterectomy, total abdominal hysterectomy. That's is a surgical removal of the entire womb, and then the woman now, by the power of the Spirit, the force of the anointing, the woman is now pregnant. How can you explain it? I said, how can you explain it? The anointing can even create new wombs. The anointing can create missing body parts. It's a power of God. He said, with God all things are possible. Everything God can do, the anointing can do. I say, everything God can do, the anointing can do. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Shalabakasaya. The anointing empowers you to do what is humanly impossible. Glory to God. So I've given you 7 definitions, ba. So go back and reverse it. Rehearse it. Okay. Last week we looked at 4 kinds of anointings. What's the first one? 4 kinds of anointing you should know. Number one, the anointing within every believer, what we call the resident believer's anointing. 1 John 2:20, you have an unction. That unction is the anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. And verse 27, that anointing teaches you all things. We said this resident anointing within every believer is what helps and sharpens your discernment. It sharpens your sensitivity and your discernment. It also helps to build Christ-like character. It's what helps your character. How many of you remember that? Okay. The second type of anointing is the anointing upon every believer. That one is empowerment for general service. Am I communicating? General service. Glory to God. It empowers you for kingdom service in the general sense. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So the Holy Ghost will come upon you and anoint you. Okay? The anointing upon. In the Old Testament, this is the kind of anointing they had, upon. But they didn't have the one within. This first type of anointing is only New Testament believers that have it. The anointing within. Am I communicating? Then the third type of anointing we say is a special anointing for ministry. That's kingdom works of service in your specific area of calling. Okay? Now this one differs a bit from number two. Number two is general service. But this third kind of anointing is special anointing for to fulfill your specific calling, not just general. Am I communicating? Remember, Philip was chosen among the seven deacons in Acts chapter 6, okay, to serve tables and all of that, okay? Now, that was general service. He had the second type of anointing there that empowered him, the anointing upon, for general service to serve as a deacon. Then, we now read later that in Acts chapter 8, during the persecution of the church, believers were scattered, and Philip went down to Samaria. As at that point, Philip had stepped into his specific calling as an evangelist. Okay? And then he did a mighty citywide crusade in Samaria. And the Bible says a lot of healings, miracles, deliverances, and massive harvest of souls. There was great joy in that city. Am I communicating? Now, Philip operated with the evangelistic anointing, this special anointing for him to fulfill his specific calling as an evangelist. Are you seeing that? So you see that from general, he moved to specific. Glory to God. I say from general, he moved to specific. You know, there are people that they get confused about their calling in life. I always tell them, start from the general. Serve in the house of God. It doesn't matter. Look for a department and just serve. See, in the things of God, you move from general to specific. The problem is if you refuse to serve at all, that means your journey is long. Philip started as a deacon. From there, he was faithful. God moved him to an evangelist. So you go from the general to the specific. You journey from the unknown to the known. Am I communicating? That's the principle. Service in the house of God is very important. It's the beginning point. And God trains you in so many other areas that you will later need in your specific area of calling. Praise God. That's where you learn discipline. You learn submission to authority. It's not enough to just be following reigning apostles and prophets online, and you are not planted in any church, you are not serving anywhere. God, see, when I see some people do some drama, I just laugh. See, God doesn't operate that way. He set the solitary in families, even in the natural realm. Every soldier belongs to a battalion. Have you ever seen a soldier that he say, me, I'm online soldier? He say, where is your battalion? Online. Every soldier belongs to a battalion, and every soldier has a commanding officer that is answerable to, that was placed over them, that they are subject to, that they are submitted to. Am I communicating? It's just simple wisdom. This is how God trains you. He will put you under someone. Okay? He will lead you to serve somewhere. Praise God. I have found David my servant. David was found in the place of service. Then God anointed him to be king. You see that? The anointing locates your head in the area of service, in the place of service. You must stay in your service station and serve wholeheartedly, serve diligently, serve faithfully. You will be trained in the place of service. Submission to authority. You must learn it in the place of service. You will take orders from others. Yes. Your humility will be tested. Your submission to authority will be tested. There is a principle in the kingdom such that the person that is not submitted, is not submissive to authority, God cannot entrust with authority. It's a principle. If you are not submissive to authority, God too cannot trust you with certain level of authority. So the person that is too big to serve, you are too big to be commanded and ordered about, that means you are too small for God to anoint for special assignment. Am I communicating? Because it's part of the whole training. It's part of the whole training. And it doesn't matter. You see people that God will put as leaders over you. You know Bible more than them. You know more. You have Rhema more than them. You can pray more than them. You can fast more than them. You may even think you are anointed more than them. You say, me, I've even opened blind eyes before. Or this one. Even fly, never even. You understand? That's the leader God will now put over you. And you have to obey their authority. And God will be watching. This is my son. Let me see whether. Your humility will be tested in service. So I'm telling you the truth. You know, humility and submission is easier when you feel the person that God put you over, as in your leader, when you think that the person is far ahead of you in many other areas. But it's more difficult when you feel you are ahead of that leader. Your ego, your pride will start talking at that point. The person will be teaching in your mind. You say, "Chai, na Bible will be this." So may they just give me that. May they give me the mic. May they hear Rhema. Yeah, that's your pride talking. You see? Because you believe you know better than that person. God is testing your humility. It's part of it. I've been there. That's me. I'm telling you from experience. I've been there. Well, it has nothing to do with whether you know Rhema more than the person, or whether you can pray more, or whether you feel you are anointed more. That's not the important thing. What is important is be submissive to their authority. Obey them like a fool. Obey sheepishly. Serve faithfully. Because you are in the school of the Spirit. You are being trained. God is the one that is watching. Your report card will come from God, and your next phase depends on your performance in that training. Praise God. God will not promote you beyond your level of submission to authority. Then we talked about, okay, we say anointing for special assignment, Exodus 30:30, 1 Samuel 10:1, 16:13, Luke 4:18. Then the fourth anointing is a corporate or congregational anointing. When we meet like this, we meet in service, There is a corporate anointing. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil upon the head of Aaron, coursing down through his beards. It's like the dew upon Hermon, upon the mountains of Zion. There he commanded the blessing. Psalm 133, 1 to 3. There is what we call the commanded blessing whenever we meet for corporate meeting. The corporate anointing releases commanded blessing. The corporate anointing provokes the flow of the commanded blessing. There are things God does for us individually, but there are things that no matter how much you press into God on your own, you will never enter. It's only under corporate anointing that you can only enter. You can enter some things. You know, we encourage people to be intimate with God. We encourage people to, as in, seek God on their own personally, intimacy with God. But some people have taken it to another extreme in which they no longer go to church. They don't go anywhere again. They say they are seeking God on their own. You understand? They are disconnected from corporate meetings. They don't know that they are going against scriptures. Because Hebrews 10:27, 25, what does it say? Do not what? Forsake what? The assembling of what? Not forsaking the that assembling together is church. Church service. Corporate service. Because there is a corporate anointing that you partake of, that you drink into. Am I communicating? As the manner of some is. So, some people were already forsaking the assembling of brethren. He said, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as he see the day approaching. Am I communicating? There are some things you will never, some graces, anointings will never ever come upon you when you seek God on your own. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. You only receive those impartations in corporate meetings. Am I communicating? That's why coming for corporate meetings is not... Have you noticed that the more you disconnect yourself from corporate meetings, the weaker you will become spiritually? Yes. It doesn't matter how much on fire you are. Just disconnect yourself from corporate gatherings of believers. Just disconnect for a while. I'm telling you, your fire will start going down. You become weaker and weaker because you are already going against scriptures. There is a corporate anointing that you are missing. Am I communicating? Was it not in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John were threatened by the chief priests and the scribes and all of that they shouldn't preach again? They returned to their own company and reported all the threat. And what was their response? They lifted up their voice and started praying. They had a praying company that they can run to in terms of help, in terms of trouble, when they needed help. And then when they prayed in Acts 4:31, the Bible said the place was shaking where they were what? Gathered together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and boldness. And then in Acts 4:33, with great power gave you the apostle witness of the resurrection. So they started witnessing with great power. From that corporate prayer meeting, there was an activation of the corporate anointing. So they can now witness with great power, and great grace was upon them. On what platform was that great power and great grace released upon them? Somebody say corporate meetings. Even Jesus went to the synagogue regularly. Jesus went to church. Do you know what more than Jesus? Are you more anointed than Jesus? But the Bible says Jesus often went to church. It's in the Bible. It was his custom. It was his habit. Apostle Paul, the same thing. Two of the most anointed men in the Bible went to church regularly. They did not neglect corporate meetings. But today, you see some people. In fact, they will tell you that the Bible is not even... it's not even exhaustive enough. They have some extra biblical rhema from the book of Enoch and the book of Jasha and Maccabees and some non-canonical scriptures. Now so madness they start small small before they enter road. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. Now, characteristics of the anointing. Let's move. Characteristics of the anointing. Number one, the anointing is a tangible force. The anointing is a tangible force. When we say tangible force, what does it mean? It means it is perceptible to touch. It is feelable. It can be felt. And it flows. Luke chapter 8 verse 43. Look up. Normally, we sense the anointing in our spirits. Normally, because the anointing resides in our spirits. Am I communicating? So you sense it spiritually with your spirit. If you are sensitive enough, you can sense the anointing in your spirit. But there is such a thing as the tangible anointing. The anointing can be strong sometimes, that you can feel it, as in it is tangible. Am I communicating? It is tangible. Okay, Luke chapter 8 verse 43. A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed of any. Next verse. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched, or it ceased, it stopped. Next verse, 45. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude trunched thee and pressed thee, and seest thou who touched me?" 46. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." That virtue there is dunamis. You can translate it as power. I perceive that power is gone out of me. That's to tell you that the anointing is tangible. It's a tangible force. For Jesus to perceive that power, healing power, the healing anointing, left him, flowed out of him, that means it is tangible. If it was not tangible, Jesus would not have made this statement. Am I communicating? It was tangible healing anointing that left him, okay, and entered the woman. Verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, falling down before him, and declared unto him before all the people what had for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Next verse. Jesus said, "Daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now give me this account in Mark chapter 5 verse 25. Mark 5 25. The same story, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Move on, 26. And suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Okay? But before she touched, look at what she said. Verse 28. For she said, "If I may but touch his clothes." This is our faith speaking, our faith being verbalized, vocalized. "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall," not "I may." Faith is not a probability. Faith is a certainty. When you are in faith, you know. You know in your spirit. You are certain. You are sure. You are not guessing. You are not doing probability. Am I communicating? He said, "I shall be made whole." Next verse. And straightway, watch this, the fountain of her blood was dried up. So the manifestation of her healing was instant, and she felt in her body. That's what I want you to see. She felt in her body. Mm-hmm. The anointing is tangible. That was why she felt it. It is feelable. It can be felt. That she was healed of that plague. Hallelujah. She felt in her body that she was healed. Jesus was aware of the outflow of that tangible healing anointing. The woman with the issue of blood, she was aware of the inflow, the reception that led to what? A healing that caused that fountain of blood to stanch. So the anointing is a tangible force. Then if you read Luke 6 verse 19, you will see how people were touching multitudes. Probably they heard the testimony of this woman with the issue of blood, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue or power out of him and healed them all. Hallelujah. You know, somebody asked a question, how come the woman with the issue of blood, it was the hem of Jesus' garment that she targeted, if I may but touch the hem. Why the hem? Why not any other part of Jesus' garment? Why not the collar? Was there even collar those days? Clothes was like skirt too. So it was not a trouser. There was no this type of trouser you are wearing. It didn't exist then, oh. Praise God. Well, the answer is simple. You know, if you see how the high priest is anointed, it's not like the way we do anointing service with small amount, anoint people small like that. Some people say they don't want it to touch their clothes. If you see how they anoint high priest Moses, as in they are drenched in the anointing, you know, as is total drenching. Is there now Psalm 133? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil upon the head of Aaron. It's telling you how they anoint them, you know, coursing through his bed. The thing flowed down to the M like that. So usually the M of the high priest's garment is where most of the anointing, after the thing has flowed down, the thing will go and gather there. So when other parts have dried up, the anointing have dried from other parts, that M still has remnant of the oil. The thing is stored there. So the woman target that place. Say, if I'm able to touch, even if I'm not sure of what area, this area, the thing must be there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Kolabakasa, the skirt of his garments. Number two, characteristics of the anointing. Number one, we see the anointing is a tangible force. Number two, the anointing is assignment specific. The anointing is assignment specific. Is assignment specific. The anointing works to accomplish a specific divine purpose. There are different kinds of anointing depending on the assignment, the purpose of the anointing. Am I communicating? Okay, so Luke chapter 5 verse 17. Look at one particular kind of anointing in manifestation here. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and something else was there. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Them in plural. That means there were sick people in that congregation. And as Jesus was teaching, the healing anointing, the healing power of God was in manifestation, was present. Am I communicating? There was a tangible healing anointing. The power of God was present to heal them. This particular power was for healing. is specific. The anointing is assignment specific. There is healing anointing. There is the anointing for prosperity. There is anointing for deliverance. Am I communicating? As you walk in the anointing, one thing that will help you is you learn to discern which anointing is in manifestation in a meeting. There is prayer anointing. You know, there are meetings like you can sense there is a strong anointing to pray, and everybody is just praying. Even if you came to that meeting with a dry prayer life, I'm telling you, you can partake of that corporate unction, and then you see yourself praying with fire, praying with vigor. Am I communicating? There are meetings that the anointing is the prophetic anointing. I know when the prophetic anointing comes on me, I feel it in my head. Sometimes it's as if I have headache. When I started when that tangible prophetic anointing came upon me for the second time, then I didn't understand it. You know, sometimes some anointings, it takes time for you to understand their operation in your life. The first time, I thought I was having headache after the service. So the thing came like that, my head. I don't know how to explain this thing, you know. Then I notice the pattern. Anytime that thing comes like that, the prophetic flows. And then, this thing is a prophetic anointing. And then I start studying Bible. I say, it's true. Am I communicating? There are different kinds of anointings. There is anointing for leadership. That was what was upon Joseph. He became prime minister. Anointing for leadership. Governance. Am I communicating? There are different kinds of anointing. There is teaching anointing. There is teaching anointing. There is preaching anointing. if you watch people like T.D. Jakes, oh Lord, the Lord is touching you. Somebody shout amen. Even yourself, you will start dancing. The thing too sweet. Is the preaching anointing? Am I communicating? I think I heard the story of how it was Bishop Noel Jones. He's another man of God with a sweet preaching anointing. How many of you know Noel Jones, Bishop Noel Jones? When he's preaching, he moves the mic like this. Somebody is about to move to the, you know, he moves the mic. Then somebody tried to copy him and was moving the mic until the mic hit his lips and tore his lips and started bleeding. You think he's just moving the thing? It's an anointing that came upon him. You think that joke? Praise God. I say, praise God. There's anointing for preaching, you know. There's anointing to teach. When a teacher starts teaching, they will read a scripture you have been reading all your life. You will wonder whether that scripture is even in the Bible. How come I didn't see it this way? It's an anointing upon them that opens your eyes to revelation, insight. Am I communicating? It's an anointing. I will never forget, there was a student that came one day to my office for counseling. So, Apostolos, you decide to surprise us today. Celebrate Dr. Caris Amewet, my friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man of God, you are welcome. Please bring him forward. So, the anointing is specific, like I'm saying. Praise God. I say praise God. It's assignment specific. Man of God, you're welcome, man. It's assignment specific. A student came to my office that she has been reading Bible, She doesn't understand. And then I say, eh. She said, yes. And then I carry the Bible. I open this first scripture. I read it to her. I say, do you understand? She said, yes. I opened the second one. I read, I explained. By the time I opened the third one, she just looked at me. And then she screamed. He said, ah, he said, how come the thing is now easy now in your office? Somebody say the teaching anointing. That's the teaching anointing. You heard a testimony of somebody that listened to me on the Avalanche of Good News broadcast. I said he used to climb one of those hills and mountains in Pangshin. Because he doesn't want to miss Avalanche of Good News broadcast. They say they have poor network in their area. So he will climb there with his, is it phone or radio now? Phone to listen to me. Hallelujah. It's not normal. We've recorded testimonies of people just sitting under our teaching here and they get healed. Am I communicating? Just like Luke 5:17, he said Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present to heal. It's an anointing. So that the sickness, the pain, how many of you have come here with pain or sickness and then you just notice, just sitting under this atmosphere, the thing is gone. How many of you, just wave your hands. Look at them, plenty. It's an anointing. It's not normal. Praise God. So the anointing is assignment specific. Luke 4:18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And as a result of that anointing, I can preach the gospel to the poor. That's the preaching anointing. What is the gospel to the poor? For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for our sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. He lifted the poor through the gospel out of the dust and the beggar out of the dunghill, that he may set them among the princes. Am I communicating? Listen, the gospel is God's poverty eradication program. The gospel is the real economic empowerment program for the poor. It's beyond welfare. If you just give welfare to the poor, there is something in their mindset. Listen, you've not changed their mindset. Am I communicating? You've not really helped them. The gospel is the real economic empowerment program for the poor. It is God's poverty eradication program. It is the emancipation proclamation. Is it to preach the gospel to the poor? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, he's talking of the healing anointing. Am I communicating? Whether it is your heart, your mind, your body that is broken. To heal means to bind by mending. It's like stitching. Am I communicating? It's an anointing. Kolabakasaya. It's an anointing. To preach deliverance to the captives. There's an anointing to preach deliverance, freedom, to set the captives free. Am I communicating? He's talking of deliverance anointing. Recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then verse 19, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. He's talking of the year of Jubilee. Am I communicating? Amplified puts it better. It said the year in which the free favors of our God, the day of salvation, free favors profusely abound. There's an anointing for favor. Hey, it's real. There's an anointing for favor. If you've not heard about Esther, when the turn of Esther came, even before that beauty pageant or whatever it was, the Bible said God gave Esther favor before the keeper of the woman. The man, the eunuch, they castrated the man so that he will not go and sleep with any of them. In charge of the woman. The Bible said God gave Esther favor so that he gave to her speedily. everything she needed. When favor is working, people give to you speedily. You don't need to try to use gimmicks back, but they give to you speedily. You enjoy unusual kindness. Favor gives you unusual acceptance. It's a cure for rejection. Am I communicating? It gives you unusual access to people's heart and their treasures. Peculiar treasures of king. He gave to her speedily. And then when they began the contest, when the turn of Esther came, the Bible says she obtained favor in the eyes of the king, in the eyes of all the officials, in the eyes of everyone that set their eyes on them, including the fellow contestants. Can you imagine? The eyes of everyone. It's an anointing for favor. When Jesus was born, wise men came from the east and they came with gifts. They saw greatness. They saw his greatness. And they came with gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Even as a baby, Jesus was enjoying divine favor. Am I communicating? Unusual favor. Praise God. When you were born, Alpha. Praise God. I say praise God. Somebody here, yeah, the anointing for favor is resting upon you. Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil. Verse 5, my cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That cup runneth over. I've told you that cup there is not this your cup you are using to drink water. Those days, this kind of cup was not in existence. The Hebrew scholars, if you do a little study, that cup there is called money bag, like the shepherd's purse where the shepherd puts their money. So the equivalent is like your bank account, you know, wherever you put your money, your storehouses. Am I communicating? So the anointing is specific. There's the anointing to prosper. There's the anointing for wealth, for riches. Thou anointest my head with oil. See, that anointing will even program your thinking. You see, it will give you wisdom. The wisdom to be a wealth producer, a wealth generator. The wisdom for wealth, it will give you that wisdom for wealth. Am I communicating? It will cause you to prosper in your finances. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Overflow. Is revire. The Hebrew word run it over is revire. Saturation. The wealthy place. Is the same word translated Psalm 66 verse 12. When he said, you caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the waters, but thou broughtest us into the wealthy place. It's the same thing. Revire. It's an anointing. Palatizo brandeke palatai. Am I communicating? This is very important. Next, we are looking at characteristics of the anointing. The anointing is measurable. It's measurable. The anointing is measurable. The manifestations are in measures. Now listen, we in Christ, we have received the anointing without measure in Christ. But the manifestation of that anointing is in measures in our lives. In John 3:34, talking about Jesus, he said, God, for he whom God had sent, speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. God did not give Jesus the Spirit with measure. He gave him the Spirit without measure. So Jesus had a measureless anointing. Am I communicating? And when you get born again and then you get filled with the Holy Ghost, am I communicating? You have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit to reside in you. You receive the anointing too without measure. But however, the manifestation of that anointing in your life is in measures. Am I communicating? So you grow in the anointing vitally, okay? You grow in it. There are different degrees or levels of the anointing. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3 to 5, in that vision, he said, he measured 1,000 cubits. The waters were to my ankle. So he's talking of different levels of the anointing there. The man that had the line in his hand went for this word. He measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. He's talking of the waters of the Spirit, the waters of the anointing. The waters were to my ankle. So you can be operating at ankle deep level of the anointing. Then move on, verse 4. And again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to my knees. So there is knee deep. Knee deep is greater than ankle deep, right? And with each level of the anointing, the possibilities increases. Yes, the level of the anointing at work in your life determines the possibilities you command per time. It determines the kind of results you get. He measured again 1,000 cubits, and what happened? He brought me through the waters, they were to my knees. He measured 1,000 cubits, they were to my loins. Am I communicating? Loin deep. From ankle deep to knee deep to loin deep. Are you seeing the increase, the gradual increase in the level of the anointing until next it became a river? He measured 1,000, it was a river that I could not pass over, or the waters were rising, or waters to swim in, and a river I could not pass over except by swimming. Am I communicating? So there are different levels of the anointing. And there are things to do to grow in the anointing. Don't worry, but I think by next week we'll look at those things when we talk about growing in the anointing, walking in the anointing, and all of that. Praise God. This is very important. In Acts 10:38, it says how God is a description. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Are you seeing that? How God, he said, the level to which Jesus was anointed. Am I communicating? How God anointed, the degree that anointed Jesus, so he could minister healing, he could minister deliverance. Praise God. Sickness is a satanic. See, sickness is a manifestation of demonic oppression in people's body and in their mind. Am I communicating? They were oppressed of the devil. Who is oppressing them? The devil. That's to tell you that sickness is satanic oppression affecting people's body. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. You will see where in that scripture, just before Elijah was taken up into heaven, he asked prophet Elisha, who had served him, he said, what do you want? What shall I do for thee before I'm taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. A double portion. Double. A double portion. He's talking of measures. Am I communicating? A double portion. And I've explained to you before that double portion is talking of the right of a firstborn. Okay? You know, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, he said if a man has, let's say he has seven sons, if he has seven sons and he wants to divide his inheritance, is dividing it not into seven places, he will divide it into eight places. to share among the seven sons, he will divide it into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So he will give everybody, each of the sons, one portion. So how many will be left? Now, that one that is left, he will now give the firstborn. So the firstborn now has what? He has double portion to prove that he is the firstborn. So that was what Elijah was asking for when he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He's not talking of double anointing in quotes. What he's saying is, I want the right of firstborn prophet. Because Elijah was the number one prophet in Israel. He said, I want that same position. Because there were other sons of the prophet. He was not the only prophet too. There were other sons of the prophet. You remember? In Bethel, in Jericho, there were other sons of the prophet in training. In the school of the prophets there. Am I communicating? He said, I want that same position. Number one position. And thank God he got it. I say he got it. And primarily because he was the only one that served Elijah. The other sons of the prophets, they were too big to serve. One major key to a lasting anointing is service. Though when I come to keys to the anointing, we'll talk about that. Service. I have found David my servant. The anointing located him in his service station. Am I communicating? Service. The other sons of the prophets, they were receiving training, which is good. They were being trained in the school of the prophets, but they didn't serve. There are things that you only learn in the place of service. Praise God. I say praise God. So many things. I've told you, take service very seriously. Number four, the anointing is transformative. It is transformative. The anointing is transformative. 1 Samuel 10:1. It produces a positive effect or a positive resultant outcome when administered. The anointing is life transforming. When we say it is transformative, what we are saying is that the anointing is life transforming. It will transform your life. Oh, the anointing makes your life beautiful. Do you know that when Saul died, and when the news got to David, David lamented. He said, the beauty of Israel. He called Saul the beauty of Israel. How come? Because of the anointing. He said, how are the mighty falling? That's the anointing makes you mighty. The anointing makes you beautiful. He said, how can Saul die like that? As though he was not anointed with oil. That means the anointing should prevent you from dying like a chicken. Am I communicating? David placed a curse on the mountains of Gilboa. And all of that. He said, let there be no dew. Let there be no rain. He says, don't publish this news in Gath. Don't talk about it in Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistine will hear and rejoice. He said, how are the mighty falling? He said, David and Jonathan, he cried. He said, these men were stronger than lions. They were swifter than eagles. Oh, the anointing makes you strong. The anointing makes you fast. It gives you speed. He said, they were swifter than eagles. Saul was never defeated in any battle though, until he disobeyed God. He died because of his disobedience. The problem was not with the anointing. His disobedience was the issue. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 1:10. Samuel took a vial of oil, Shemen, poured it upon his head and kissed him. He said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Hey, yeah. The anointing makes you a captain. The anointing makes you a captain. A captain of industry. A captain in your field. It makes you a captain. It puts you in charge. Even if you were a captive, The anointing will make a captive and transform him into a captain. Hallelujah. Then jump to verse 6. There were a series of events that Prophet Samuel said will happen to King Saul after the anointing. Among them, he said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Thou shalt prophesy with them. And thou shalt be turned into what? Another man. The anointing is transformative. It turns you into another man. I said the anointing turns you into another man. Turns you into another man. You know, on a good day, if you meet me on my own, I'm a very gentle person, quiet, I don't like trouble, I don't look for trouble, reserved like that. But under the anointing, I'm not gentle. You know, sometimes the anointing can alter your personality. Praise God. Next, the anointing can be stronger or lesser in manifestation. It can be stronger or lesser in manifestation. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And there are things you can do to increase the manifestation of the anointing. Whether it is in your life personally, or in a meeting, or in a service. Because the anointing can be lesser or greater in manifestation. More often than not, the manifestation of the anointing is governed by, how do I put it? There are laws that govern the flow of the anointing. You know, John G. Lake said, electricity in the natural is the power of God in the natural. Am I communicating? John G. Lake said, electricity is the power of God in the natural realm. But the anointing is the power of God in the supernatural realm. And watch this. In the natural, there are laws that govern the flow of electricity. Do we have physics students, engineering students? You can agree with me. Does electricity just flow through any object? No. We have conductors. Good conductors, weak conductors, and then we have insulators in terms of flow of the electricity through object, right? It is also true because all truths have parallel. Am I communicating? The anointing too is governed by laws. When those laws are obeyed, it flows. It flows. Am I communicating? Just like there are laws that govern the flow of current. So if you want the anointing to be greater in manifestation, then there are laws to understand and engage. You obey those laws. Hallelujah. Somebody is asking, what are those laws? Don't worry, just keep following the series. We'll look at them. Praise God. I say praise God. Next, the anointing is transferable. You know, we said the anointing is tangible, is a tangible force. It is also transferable. That transfer is what we call impartation. Impartation. Praise God. Impartation of the anointing. The anointing is transferable. There are exact laws that govern impartations of the anointing. There are exact laws. Kotabakasaya. Numbers 11:16. Watch this. Numbers 11:16. When Moses cried out to God that the burden of leading these people is too much. Moses was actually practicing how to die of PTSD. He will sit down and judge over 3 million people from morning till night. You know, thank God his father-in-law Jethro came and gave him counsel and gave him wisdom for administration and leadership and all of that. So Moses had complained to God that the burden was too much for him to bear. And the Lord said to Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of congregation, that they may stand there with thee. These are the leaders Moses chose. Okay? Next verse. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Hallelujah. And when did this scripture, when was it fulfilled? Jump to verse 25. Give me verse 25, Numbers 11, 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and they did not cease. Hallelujah. So look, in summary, God took of the dimension of the spirit upon the set man called Moses and put it upon those 70 elders chosen from among the people. So God transferred that anointing, am I communicating, and released it upon them so that they will be able to walk with Moses and run with the vision to fulfillment. Praise God. So there was a transfer, there was an impartation. Glory to God. In Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, it says, and now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? Is it for Moses, the servant of the Lord, had laid hands on him. So, through the laying on of hands, impartation of the anointing can take place. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. The anointing is transferable. So, there are different channels for the transmission of the anointing. There are channels for the transmission of the anointing. Number one, the first and primary channel for the transmission or transfer of the anointing, or what we call impartation. The first and primary channel of impartation is through words. 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 The anointing is communicated through words. Anointed words, whether spoken or written, Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost what? Fell. Let's look at it. Acts 10:44. This was Peter's experience in the house of Cornelius. Okay, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Oh, on all them which heard the word. Now, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The principal channel of impartation is through words. Am I communicating? Listen, the anointing upon a man of God is upon his words. It's as simple as that. When you commit to listening to their words, and if you obey the laws of impartation, you can receive of that grace and anointing upon them, even without them physically laying hands on you. Listen, even when you receive the anointing by other channels, to maintain the workings of that anointing, you need to commit to listening to their words. This is very important. This is very, very important. Even when hands are laid on you, because that's another channel for impartation, you need to commit to words. Jesus, John 6:63, he said, the words I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and they are life. They are spiritual life-giving forces. Ezekiel 2 verse 1 and 2, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, stand upon your feet. And Ezekiel did not struggle to stand. Verse 2 said, the spirit entered into me when he spake.
Ask yourself, when did the Spirit enter? When he spake at the same time? That's to tell you, spoken words are the principal channel of impartation. The Spirit entered into me when he spake to me and set me upon my feet. Am I communicating? There is what we call laying on of words. There is laying on of hands, then there is laying on of words. Words communicate the anointing. You know, I see, you see how everywhere is calm, cool. There are some words I can start speaking now. It will activate the anointing. This whole atmosphere will change. This meeting will take another turn. I'm just trying to teach you. That is how it works. That is how it operates. Praise God. I say praise God. Don't never joke with anointed words. Never. Place high premium on anointed words. Place high premium on anointed. Ask yourself, how are curses released? Through words. Incantations are released through words. Blessings are released through words. Words are containers. They are conveyors. They are communicators. They are transmitters of the anointing. Look at Jesus. Luke chapter 7, if you read 6 to 10, talking about how he ministered healing to the centurion's servant that was sick. Remember what the centurion said? Initially, he sent the elders to go and beg Jesus to come and heal his son. And then they've already gone, they were on their way. Then he now sent another message. He said, don't trouble the master, that I'm not worthy that he should come under my roof. He said all Jesus needed to do is to speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. What was the understanding of that centurion? He had this understanding that authority and power, am I communicating, is exercised through what? Words. He said, for I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. They obey my words. I said to this, go, and he goeth. I said to this, come, he cometh. He said, in the same way, Jesus, you too, you are a master over sickness and disease. All you need to do is to say, go, the sickness will go. Can you see his understanding? And then come, healing, come. The healing will come. Jesus said, "Chai! I've never seen such faith, such great faith." Jesus commended his faith. Kai, sometimes I see military men understand authority more. Hallelujah. The second miracle Jesus did in Canaan. Remember that nobleman's son that was sick? He came and met Jesus. He said, "My son is at the point of death. My son is dying. Please come and help me." Jesus said, go your way. Your son lives. And the Bible said the man went his way believing those words Jesus speak. Aya. Let me look for that scripture. It's in John. John chapter 4, verse 46. If you start reading downwards. Jesus said, go your way, your son liveth. And the man went his way, believing those words Jesus spake. The anointing for healing was released through those words. And the man had faith in those words. And there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. Do you know, immediately the healing power of God came upon his son, wherever he was. And the son began to amend. In other words, there were signs of recovery. Am I communicating? And by the time the guy got home, he realized the son was totally healed. And he now asks a question. At what point did he begin to amend? when they told him the time, he realized it was at the same time that Jesus said, "Go your way, your son liveth." And he mixed those words with faith. Am I communicating? Never forget this. Words are powerful. Adolf Hitler sparked up the Second World War. Was it not with words? No gun, no powder. Words. Almost every war begins with words. Even peace treaty. Peace treaty too begin with words. Am I communicating? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, not in the power of the devil. Praise God. So never forget that. Then secondly, the second channel of impartation is through the laying on of hands. Through the laying on of hands, the anointing can be communicated. It can be transferred. When hands are laid on you, open your heart in faith to receive. You know, there are some people that are funny. They came to test whether the man of God has power. You know, I've seen people like that. And I've seen how the anointing disciplined some of them. Yes. Yes. Is it that they'll come and this man of God, he get power self, mark a check. Praise God. When hands are laid on you, open your heart and what? Receive by faith. It's not one religious routine. No. Laying on of hands is one of the foundational, you know, in Hebrews 6, it talks of the first oracles, the principles of Christ. Am I communicating? It's one of them. Laying on of hands was mentioned. It's one of the sacraments handed over to the church. Just like communion. Am I communicating? Partaking of the communion, the Eucharist. Another one is laying on of hands. It's one of those doctrines of Christ. So it's not a religious activity. Praise God. I say praise God. Jesus ministered to the sick through the laying on of hands. Even in the early church, he said, "Is there anyone sick? Call for the elders. Let them what? Pray over him. Anoint him with oil." That is another channel of impartation, transmission of the anointing, use of material medium. We'll come to that. Am I communicating? So it's not a religious thing. Glory to God. Please control those children. Let it not be like some of Kenneth Hagin's meeting. You will hear children making noise in the background. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. What's the first channel of transmission of the anointing? Number two. Okay, let me give you scripture for laying on of hands. Matthew 9 verse 18. Matthew 9 verse 18. While he spake this in the old, there came a ruler worshiping, saying, "My daughter is even now dead. Come and lay thy hand upon" what? "Upon her, that she may live." And then if you read down, you will see how Jesus did that. Okay, and communicated the anointing. Then Mark chapter 5 verse 23. Mark 5 23. Okay, it's the same thing. Okay, he said, "Come and lay thy hand." You remember the 12-year-old girl. What's her name now? Now Jesus said, "Tabitha Kumi." "Young maid, I say to you, arise." We don't know her name, but the Bible did not mention her name. Eh? Okay, just say Darius' daughter. Yes, Darius' daughter. That was at the point of death. Jesus was going to heal her until the woman with the issue of blood came and stole the shoe and delayed the journey until when when Jesus was done with her, he now hear bad news. They say, don't trouble the master, she is dead. The moment Jesus heard that, Jesus just looked at the parent. He said, fear not, believe only. And then Jesus went and raised her up. Am I communicating? You know, sometimes when you hear bad news, fear just grip your heart. At that point, you need to know what to do. Address it immediately. At that point, as you are hearing the bad news, you let your faith come alive. Am I communicating? When Jesus heard that she was dead, immediately he said, fear not, believe, only believe. That was the motto of Smith Wigglesworth. Only believe. No ifs, no buts. No place for fear here. He said, only believe. He said, she sleepeth. I'm going to wake her up. And they laughed Jesus to scorn. Okay? It's okay for people to laugh at you sometimes when you are in faith. No problem. Praise God. I say, praise God. Luke 13, verse 13. Luke 13, verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. You remember that woman that was bound with the spirit of infirmity for 13 years, whom Satan had bound. Jesus ministered to her by laying on of hands, and then he spoke words. Now listen, sometimes you can use more than one channel to minister the anointing to people. There are times that you speak words. There are times that you don't just speak words, you combine it with the laying on of hands. Like that was how Jesus ministered to this woman. She was bound. She could in no wise lift herself up. The Bible says, Jesus said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid hands on her. So it was a combination of what? Spoken anointed words and what? Yes, laying on of hands. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Yes, sir. The third channel for transmission of the anointing is through the use of material mediums. Okay? These material mediums include anointing oil, handkerchiefs, clothing materials like handkerchiefs, aprons, mantles, bones, even bones itself. How many of you remember the bones of Elisha that raised a dead person back to life? Yes. Everything that comes in contact with the anointed can act as a storage battery for the anointing. The cloth, the shoe, whatever, any material that comes in contact with the anointed can become a channel for the transmission of the anointing. Am I communicating? However, there are some rules that govern the use of material medium. Okay, I'll come to that. Now, material mediums in scriptures, we saw use of anointing oil. We saw use of, for instance, in Mark chapter 6, you see how verse 12, Jesus' disciples, even though it's not on record that Jesus himself used anointing oil, but his disciples used anointing oil. Okay, they anointed the sick with it. Now, his disciples to use it, that means Jesus must have approved of it. Am I communicating? They went out and preached that men should repent. Next, verse 13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So, the anointing oil became like a material medium for the transmission of the anointing. Okay, praise God. James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5, verse 14. Glory to God. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with what? Oil in the name of the Lord. So the healing anointing can be transmitted and transferred through what? Through what? Help me now. Through the anointing oil. Goya extra virgin. The anointing oil. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I can arrange them. Oh na see and where. Oh yeah. Praise God.
Let's look at the anointing oil a bit. Now, go to Exodus 30 verse 22. Exodus 30, 22. Let's see how the anointing oil is prepared. It is made from the following ingredient: myrrh, cinnamon, cassia, calamus. These are four aromatic ingredients God instructed Moses to blend with olive oil for making the holy anointing oil. Now, let's look at it. Exodus 30:22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, next verse, he said, Take thou also with thee principal spices of pure what? Myrrh. 500 what? 500 shekels. See the composition of the anointing oil. Pure myrrh. 500 shekels. Okay. Next. Sweet cinnamon. Okay. It's sweet. Half so much. That's 250 shekels. Half of 500. Next. Sweet calamus, right? 250 shekels, right? Next. Of cassia, 500 what? Shekels. Cassia, 500 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, not the one in the market. Then of oil, olive what? Oil. What's the quantity there? An in, if you convert it to shekel, I think it's around 650 shekels. Praise God. You mix it, you get what we call the anointing oil. This was how it is prepared, the composition. Praise God. I say praise God. And the anointing oil is used for so many things. Anointing oil was mentioned 20 times in scriptures. It was mentioned 20 times. Number one, it's used for consecration. Exodus 30:30. Consecration. For sanctification or consecration. Exodus 30:30. It says, thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them. Am I communicating? Okay, it's used to consecrate the high priest and his sons into the priestly office. Or it is used to anoint kings, like we saw in the case of Samuel anointing Saul, and then Samuel, Prophet Samuel, anointing David. Am I communicating? It consecrates people into their various offices, whether it is priestly office or kingly office or prophetic office. And what does it mean to consecrate? It means to set apart for sacred use, as in for God's use. Okay? It means you are set apart for God's divine purpose. So it is used for consecration. Also, during ordinations, you see them use the anointing oil to ordain people. Then number two, the anointing is used for lighting the menorah. The menorah is a lampstand or candlestick. It's used for lighting the menorah in the temple. If you see the tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, they use the anointing oil to lamp, to light the menorah. You still have the picture of menorah? Just flash it for us. The candlestick or the lampstand. So the fuel that supplies the light is actually the anointing oil. Praise God. You see that in Exodus chapter 35 verse 14. For lighting purposes, it provides illumination, it provides enlightenment. Hallelujah. Now these things, they have spiritual significance. Listen, the anointing can open up your understanding. The anointing
can give you revelation. Am I communicating? It can open your eyes to revelations from God's word. Am I communicating? Divine insights. It can give you divine insight into mysteries and secrets. It can enlighten the eyes of your understanding. Glory to God. He said the candlestick also for light, and his furniture and his lamp with the oil for the light. So the anointing oil is what supplies the fuel for lighting the candlestick or the menorah. Praise God. So that's for enlightenment and illumination. How many of you have studied the Bible under the anointing? There is always a difference. Listen, the Bible is not a boring book. If it is boring to you, that means you are studying it devoid of the anointing. Something is missing. So sometimes when you study, it looks as if you are not getting anything. Just close the Bible for that minute. You know what you should do? Start blasting in tongues. Because by praying in tongues, you activate the anointing. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is activated. And then by the time you start studying again, there will be a difference. Your eyes will see something. Am I communicating? Next, the anointing oil has medicinal purposes for healing. In fact, that first component, it has medicinal value. Myrrh is also used as a cleanser and as a purifier. Praise God. So the sick are anointed with oil. Give me Luke chapter 10 verse 34. Remember the parable of the Samaritan? The good Samaritan. The good Samaritan that attended to that man that was beaten by robbers and left half dead. And he went to him and bound up his wounds. Watch this. Pouring in what? Oil and wine. Why did he pour oil and wine on the wound? Because the oil has healing purposes. Similar to wine. Am I communicating? You know, some people, the only scripture they know, because they have made up their mind never to stop taking alcohol, is that scripture that says, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Say, even Paul endorsed the use of taking alcoholic wine. He told Timothy, my son, take a little wine. That's the only scripture they know. But one thing they forget is that, what is the purpose of the wine in that context? And that, in that context, wine is not to feel high. Wine is a drug to treat or cure the stomach problem. It's talking of the therapeutic or medicinal value. Am I communicating? It's good to interpret scripture in context, right? Timothy was sick. He had a stomach problem. And wine had healing purposes. It has medicinal value those days. So he said, take the wine for your stomach's sake. Your stomach what? Stomach pain is to heal the stomach pain. It's not for you to feel high. Praise God. I say praise God. So we've seen how the disciples anointed the sick with oil and got them healed. James 5:14, the elders. He said, if you are sick, send for the elders. Listen. There are believers that anytime they are sick, they just go solo. They don't tell anybody. They don't tell pastor. They don't tell their leader, HOD, nothing. They just disappear. You don't see them at all. And then they will now be angry that when they were sick, nobody came to visit them. Who did you tell? It doesn't make sense. You were sick, you didn't tell anybody. You didn't ask for help, nothing. You are now angry that they did not visit you when you were sick. What should we do about your case? You are a victim of foolishness. You better repent if you are in that this thing. No, don't feel bad. If you are sick, ask for help. Am I communicating? Don't suffer in silence. Don't feel as if they will think that I am in nepios. No. Oh, my faith is not working. No. Ask for help. Reach out for help. The anointing oil also is used for purification and cleansing. Okay? In fact, it's used for making soap. It's used for making soap, among other things. And purification and cleansing talks about the remission and forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Part of the finished works of Jesus. The anointing also has is used for protection and preservation. It has empowerment purposes. But look up. Let me say this now. The use of material medium, anointing oil, handkerchief, aprons, all of that. Here is the rule. Number one, they must be used in faith. They must be used what? In faith. Number two, use them based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But don't make a doctrine out of them, okay? Never make a doctrine out of them. Use them in faith and use them based on what? The leading of the Spirit. These are the two anchor laws in using material medium in ministering to people. Eh? Before some people go start, they sell soap. Anointed soap. I know they will. I don't talk my own. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. So you use them in faith. See, watch this. This is just chemical product, just like any other thing. What makes it the holy anointing oil is when the presence and power of God comes upon this. Am I communicating? That's what makes the difference. It ceases to be ordinary oil. It ceases to be ordinary oil. Once the presence and power of God is communicated to it, that's what makes it powerful. Hallelujah. Minus the presence and power of God, this is just like any other oil. Okay? Are you learning something? What is the best cooking oil? What's the best cooking oil? Women, let me ask women, ladies. The ladies and women that cook, which oil is the best cooking oil? Eh? Eh? Chorus, you people are giving chorus answers. Oh. Eh? Olive oil! You are correct. Clap for her. Clap. Olive oil is the best cooking oil, actually. It is. You know, olive oil is so rich in so many nice things. It is the best plant-based oil. Olive oil has a lot of medicinal value. A lot. You know, it has a lot of monounsaturated fatty acid, and that contains this good cholesterol. You know the good cholesterol, medical people? Which one is the good cholesterol? HDL. It has high quantity of high density lipoprotein, right? Yes, and that makes it very good for your health. So it has a lot of positive cardiovascular effect, right? And many other things. Olive oil also has polyphenol, which is an antioxidant. It helps to prevent aging. So it's an anti-aging agent. Also all this inflammation, different things. In fact, olive oil, I was doing a Maybe I will share on our WhatsApp group, those of you in our WhatsApp group, I will share some of the benefits of olive oil. When you read it, you will start taking that, you know. You start, but honest, I swear. Oh, God, forgive me, I swear. Bible say we should not swear. Let your yea be yea. Listen, olive oil has so many benefits, even air. All this cosmetic, air and skin. You understand? So many health benefits. Praise God. I say praise God. Bones, handkerchief, apron. Acts 19:11. You see Apostle Paul there. The Bible says God did special miracles through the hands of Paul. Okay? Extraordinary miracles. Actually, it's even the channels by which it was wrought that was actually special. Okay, move on. It says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and what? The evil spirit went out of them. So handkerchiefs or apron taken from the body of Apostle Paul, they acted as storage batteries. They were charged with the anointing that was upon Paul, and the moment they put it on the sick, put it on the demon oppressed people, they discharged power into them. They discharged the anointing, and the sick were healed, and the oppressed were delivered. Hallelujah. Kotaba kasaya librondosko rakatiska paladia. Oh, then the number what now? I need to round up. Number what? Okay, I'm giving you the channels of what? Channels of transmission of the anointing. I've mentioned bones, right? The bones of Prophet Elisha. Okay? Raised a dead person back to life. they wanted to go and bury a dead person, and then they sighted a band of the Moabites coming, and then out of fear they threw the dead man into Prophet Elisha's sepulcher, and the only thing left were his bones there. And the moment the dead man made contact with the bones of Elisha, Elisha had died of sickness, but it shows that it's not the anointing that failed, though. The anointing was still in his bones. Bible says the dead person checked back to life and started running after them. Just imagine, you went to bury somebody, you just three, and then by the time you turn, they were running because of fear. They sighted enemies coming, and then you now saw the person that you went to bury following you. You will increase his speed now. And then you remember also how Joseph had prophesied. He told his brethren, he said, surely the Lord will visit you. He said, make sure you carry my bones away from Egypt, too, because something is inside that bone, the mantle of leadership, the anointing. But you know, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, the Bible tells us specifically, and there are no meaningless details in the Bible, that Moses, they collected the bones of Joseph and they went with it. Am I communicating? What is it about bones that they will not leave there? Am I communicating? That wisdom, that anointing for leadership. The Bible says, by the wisdom of God, Joseph came up with a 14-year agroeconomic plan that bailed Egypt and by extension the whole world from perishing from those 7 years of famine. You want them to leave that bone there? World power will return back to Egypt now. Am I communicating? They had to carry the bones. So bones can become storage batteries for the anointing too. Hallelujah. I didn't say you should start going to dig up bones
bones of Apostle Babalola. They catch you there. Or is it Idaoza? He said, show me where they bury Ida. Say, Papa said, the anointed day. He said, I know the old. Praise God. I say, praise God. The anointing gives you next. Number what now? 7. I think I'll round up with this. The anointing gives you divine authority. It gives you divine authority, supernatural influence, impact and income. The anointing gives you divine authority, supernatural influence, impact and income. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit and the fame of him was spread abroad. Influence, supernatural influence. Listen, influence is spiritual. Influence is first and foremost spiritual. I'm talking of real influence. Okay? There's a difference between fame and influence. Fame is temporary. It doesn't last. Okay? Praise God. I say praise God. Greatness. See, it's the anointing that makes people great. It's the anointing that makes people great. And there's a difference between fame and greatness. Fame is temporary influence. Greatness is timeless influence. Transgenerational influence. Enduring significance. Am I communicating? That's true greatness. True greatness transcends time. It transcends geography. It transcends geographical location. It doesn't matter where you are. Some of you listening to me, by the anointing, you will be the one to place your village on the world map. Amen. People will know your village because of you. Amen. Because God will make you great. God is still in the business of making people great. He told Abraham, I will make you great. Am I communicating? In Mark chapter 1 verse 37, after Jesus had spent time in prayer, the Bible said, the disciple looked for him. They said, Master, all men seek for thee. See, the anointing makes you highly valuable. All men seek for thee. The anointing makes you highly valuable. Yes. It makes you highly valuable. See, it brings money. The anointing has financial value. It's not just spiritual value. The anointing has not just spiritual value. See, the anointing has social value. It has financial value. It has health value. Help me now. Which one again? It makes you highly valuable. Praise God. In Songs of Solomon 1 verse 2, it says, because of the sweet odor of your ointment, therefore do the virgins love thee. Songs of Solomon 1 verse 3, thank you. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins what? Love thee. You know, women like anointing. Women like anointing too much. That's why as a man of God, if you're anointed, if you don't get, if you are, if you lack integrity, you have character issues, though, you are in trouble. Will mess up big time. Hallelujah. As an anointed man of God, if you are married, if women they disturb you, report them to your wife. Report them to your wife. Even if they are in church. Or if you notice that your eye is catching somebody too much, report yourself to your wife. Yes. And if a lady or a woman is liking you too much, is your wife that is usually the first person to know. Women are anointed for that too. Married women, they have a way of knowing even before you. Yes, it's true. So your wife will start warning you, be careful. If your wife is warning you, don't be forming strong man. Don't say, nothing, calm down. Listen, a word is enough for the wise. Women, their receptors are sharper. Praise God. The anointing gives you influence. It's a secret of supernatural impact, global impact, transgeneration. You know, there are some people that they are no longer on earth. They are in heaven. They've joined the cloud of witnesses. But we cannot stop talking about them. Hey, because of their impact, they shook this world. Am I communicating? With the anointing, I read God's generals. And then I asked myself, what was the singular thing that made the generals who they were? It was the anointing, the presence and power of the Spirit. In summary, am I communicating? It's a secret of supernatural results, supernatural accomplishment, exploits that are global and transgenerational. Hallelujah. Concerning Jesus, do you know what was said of him? The Bible says, John 20:30, that the miracles Jesus did, if they were to record every one of them, is it many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples? Please remove that. It says, I should read from my Bible. It says, which are not written in this book. 31. He said, but these are written that ye might believe. Can you see? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing, ye might have what? Life. Through what? His name. So, it's not all the miracles Jesus did that were recorded in the Bible. The ones that were recorded so that you will believe. And then you will receive eternal life. Am I communicating? That means Jesus did far more than what was recorded in the Bible. Praise God. Then in John chapter 21 verse 25, Apostle John said something very interesting. I kept thinking about this statement. He said, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Somebody say exploits. Somebody say supernatural impact. Somebody say supernatural influence. John the Baptist will be preaching in the wilderness. The Bible says, there went out to him, Matthew 3:5, Jerusalem, Judea. What? Jordan. You know, these people, they bypass the synagogue, they left the comfort of the city, congregated in the wilderness to listen to one wild man that broke all the laws of branding and packaging, wearing camels. Am I communicating? Feeding on locusts and wild honey. Somebody say the anointing. But I didn't say go and dress like John the Baptist. You understand? Praise God. I say praise God. But it was the anointing, and the message he was even preaching was even more like condemnation message. Oh, brood of vipers, who has warned you? He was abusing them, they were still coming. Am I communicating? Anointed preaching. Anointed preaching. Then there went out to him, Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region round about Jordan. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Konda barakatai. Shila kondrobo kosekete. I want you to, in 1-2 minutes, you know, Pastor Mafeng, when he was taking that powerful exhortation, I was so blessed by it. The first secret he mentioned concerning the anointing, he said, is desire. A strong desire. You want to walk in the anointing, you must be hungry and thirsty. Strong desire. Maliko Vabalatia. Lebranda Kata. In Isaiah 44 verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is what? Thirsty. Spiritual thirst is spiritual currency. In Isaiah 55 verse 1, he said, oh, everyone that thirsted, come to the waters. Come and buy. What will you use to buy? Hunger. Spiritual hunger is spiritual currency for transactions in the realm of the spirit. Am I communicating? Hunger. On that great day, the last day of the feast, the Bible says Jesus stood and cried out. And what did he say? Can you remember what he said? If any man thirst, let him come. So there is a standing invitation to the thirsty. Come and drink of the rivers of the anointing. He said, come and drink. The spirit and the bride say, come. I want you to lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and talk to the Lord. You cannot fulfill your ministry without the anointing in ever increasing measures. Listen, the anointing is in levels, and with each level of the anointing, your impact increases, your influence increases, the possibilities you command, the result you command increases. Listen, your level of result is at the mercy of the level of anointing you are operating in. I want you to lift up your voice. In Acts chapter 4 verse 33, when they prayed, the Bible says, with great power gave he witness of the apostle, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Great grace. Great grace will come with great power. There is a grace that increases the level of anointing upon your life. In Psalm 92 verse 10, the psalmist said, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mashatabakasatai. There is fresh oil for every new season. Matando porakatiza. I hear break forth. Somebody is breaking forth in this service. Somebody is bursting forth. Kaladi alabakatai. There is an anointing to break forth. Kataliga balatai. In your finances, break forth. Patasedi kabatai. In your family, break forth. In your career, break forth. In your ministry, break forth. The Lord of the breaks is rising up for somebody. Anyone that is in any prison, anyone Ashila Gabatai, the Lord of the breaks is breaking you out of every tight place. Malakunde Kebarakatai, anyone that is oppressed, the power of God is breaking that yoke of oppression. You are coming out of every prison house. Manda soba lata sida kabrakatai. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. He said it shall come to pass in that day. His burden shall be lifted from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed. The yoke of depression is destroyed. The yoke of satanic oppression is destroyed. The yoke of sickness and disease is being destroyed now. The yoke of barrenness is being destroyed now. The yoke of stagnation, the yoke of delay is being destroyed now. You are breaking forth. You are bursting forth. You are breaking out. Sopoteke balakidas. I'm seeing three families that the Lord is visiting. By faith, you can plunge into it. But what I'm seeing is three families. The Lord is visiting families. And I see the Lord turn around family captivities. Turn around family captivities. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, visit my family with your power, with your presence. Let captivities be turned around. Lift up your voice and pray. Family captivities are being turned around. Whatever is the issue, the Lord is visiting families, turning around family captivities, financial captivities. Shalababo silabarakatai. You are entering into new things. You are entering into new things. Mandabayas, I'm seeing someone. You started a project, you abandoned it. You couldn't complete it because of lack of funds. The Lord says the finisher's anointing is being released upon you right now. And by this anointing, funds are released. Go forth and complete that project. The anointing to complete every abandoned project, whether it is building project or whether it is business project, whatever it is you started but you could not finish, in the name of Jesus, by this anointing, go forth and finish it. Go forth and finish it. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation. His hand shall also finish it. Dr. David, sir, come, congratulations. Congratulations. Come with your wife. Mommy Bestie, come. When I was praying, the Lord gave me a word for you. I saw you driving a new car, sir. And I saw the Lord decorating you with royal. I saw you wearing one royal kind of apparel. And the Lord says he's releasing financial blessings. He said he's bringing you into a new season in which you will enjoy financial blessings like rain. The rain of prosperity in your finances. I release that grace upon you now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's a new season. It's a new season. Konda barakatai. Just lift up your hands. Shebila katai. Mandabaya. I'm seeing chains being broken from people's feet. And the Lord says, this anointing is judging delays. Delays and stagnation. Malakute ke barakatai. Liborande ke tiza brakatai. I take authority over every devil of delay. The demon of satanic delay and stagnation is being judged right now. The hand of the Lord is resting upon you, and you are outrunning the chariot of kings. In the name of Jesus, the anointing for divine speed and acceleration is resting upon your feet right now. No more delays. Ketoboko sekete. There is a release of fresh oil. Shamala kondo sovrahadia. No more struggles. No more struggles. No more suffering. The anointing will bring about divine ease, divine speed, divine favor. Things will become easy now. The oil of ease is released upon you now. Is released upon your family now. I've seen the yoke of hardship being broken over families. The yoke of hardship is being broken. Isofa pora malidas, embreketola balatiska. Thank you, Father. Just lift up your hands and appreciate Him. So much release. Your life will never remain the same again. Just go ahead and bless Him. Kiskova bora malatiza, embreketosko vabora malatesko. I'm seeing so many marriages. I'm seeing marriages. People wearing wedding gown. You are entering your marital destiny. So I'm talking to the singles that are believing God to get married, to settle down. You are stepping into your marital destiny. So nothing can hold you back anymore. Just lift up your hands and just appreciate the Lord. Go ahead, bless Him. Go ahead and bless Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Why still standing? I want to give opportunity to somebody. Maybe you are here, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You want a real relationship with Jesus. You are tired of religion. You are tired of playing religion. You don't know Jesus. I want to give you this opportunity to receive the salvation that His blood has provided, and to receive the gift of eternal life. Whether you are in this hall or you are following online, I want you to lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand. If you want to make that decision for a relationship with Jesus, lift up your right hand wherever you are, whether in this hall or following online. And I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. And on the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glowing generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Azonkin, or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.